Hello and welcome to today's episode of Impact School. So today I am delighted to tell you that I am joined with Elena Cardone. So we're going to be talking all things building an empire and being a woman in business and anything else that comes up along the way. So Elena, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Yeah, I can't wait to introduce you to my audience, really. I mean, some of them may have heard of Gran, and I'm sure a lot of them have heard of you as well. I know that a few people have because I said on my story that I was coming here to do this, and a bunch of people were excited when I put that up the other day. So I'd love it if, for anybody who hasn't actually heard of you before, would you just be able to introduce yourself and just let them know a little bit about you and your past? Because it's an interesting story, I know.
Well, I started off as an actress in Los Angeles as a very independent type woman.
Independent woman.
Very independent type woman, where I wanted to do everything on my own without the need of a man. And I did that for a number of years. I was an actress, I was successful. You know, there were highs and lows during that period, of course. That's the actress world. And then I met my husband, Grant, and we got married. And for the first 5 years of the marriage, I was still wrestling and grappling with trying to be this independent woman to myself, I really didn't embrace Grant so much because I was battling with inner demons of myself of trying to have this femininity that I was trying to hold on to. And then the economic collapse happened in 2008, and I really realized that if my husband and I were going to survive this situation, plus we were under a lawsuit at the time, I was pregnant with my first child. There were a number of things that occurred to kind of push me into the situation where I really realized that we had to unite as a team. Now, in uniting and joining as a team, ironically, I really came full circle and found my real power as a woman. So ironically, it was a man that actually helped me find my true, true, true power for me. And in doing that, we have created a colossal empire, which to us is just the beginning. This is just a pat on the shoulder, well done, as compared to where we want to go and who we want to touch on the world. So at least I've gotten to the point now in our lives where enough people could look at us and say, wow, they're successful. How did they do it? And so having been the person back here to the person where I am now, I didn't have a woman kind of behind the scenes to kind of emulate or to learn what to do and what not to do. So now that I'm supposedly on this side of things, and I am to an extent, I wanted to make my life transparent for any other empire builders who want to achieve what we have achieved. I want to help them fast track that. So I've chosen to expose my life in order to help others build an empire. So that's a little bit about who I am and what my mission is and why I have this quest for others to join me in empire building.
Yes, that's absolutely amazing. And you, of course, have a couple of absolutely gorgeous daughters as well. I've seen them on your social media, and it's just super inspiring to see you guys doing your thing while also having this incredible family, which you can just tell from everything that you put out. And so you mentioned that you said that Grant helped you find your real power as a woman. What would you say your real power as a woman really is?
It's just being able to not be hindered by these concepts and these ideas, whether it be male, woman, whether it be how you think love is supposed to look. I had to let go of all these concepts and ideas that I had placed on me. I don't know from where, but once I got those stripped away and I could really just be free to just be me in any situation, whether it means something as simple as making my husband a meal, I am free to do that now. I will do whatever I have to do to keep us as a team and him running strong. Whereas before, I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not like gonna be this woman in the kitchen serving you. You know what I mean? And I've done that that's just a small example. Mm. So to me, being my real power as a woman is really being me, stripped away of all these false false data and information, and just being who I want to be, not caring who thinks what, what's expected of me. I can make my choices based on my integrity to do what's best for everyone involved, and I'll do whatever that is, and that is power.
Wow, that's amazing. And I truly understand what you mean. I think it's like the total opposite of the, I suppose, old-fashioned view of a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, you went to the total opposite extreme of that, of being the independent woman, I don't need a man, that type
right.
of thing.
Yes.
And so it's now finding that balance. I can honestly relate to you so much, because obviously we have James in the room right now, but I didn't have a boyfriend for so long in my life because I was like, I don't need a man. Like, I don't need someone yeah. with me. I always thought it would hold me back.
Right. And me too.
Yeah, and it's so true.
Like, and then I always picked the person that would hold me back to make myself right, that all men held me back.
Yeah, I didn't even pick anyone. I was just like,
no one.
And then obviously I met James, and I see exactly what you mean, because everything for me has exponentially skyrocketed since I was like, okay, now I've found someone and we can become stronger together. And that's what it's about. It's about combining forces and bouncing back and forth ideas with one another, and just realizing that together you can build an empire, right?
Right.
So, okay, so.
So here's the thing also, really quickly,
yeah,
before you go
course.
To the next thing.
No, absolutely.
The thing also is that no one in the history of any empire has ever built an empire alone. It's impossible. Mm. So whether it's with a person that you're romantically in a relationship or not, you will have to get other people bought in and sold on your idea, your vision, your purpose, getting on the same page, and you will have to grow that. Like, so I always thought I had to do it alone. Mm. And so I can pull what I can pull alone all day long. But when you join forces with another person that's on the same team, with the same power, with the same energy, and you work together, all of a sudden my power gets 10x'd. You know?
Yeah.
It's more than just my power. It's more than just double the power. It's
exponential.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no cap on it. And then the more you add to that, the more it goes shh. So, you know, I don't think anyone's doing it alone. No entrepreneur is doing it alone. No boss, no king, no queen, nobody does it alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when people say, I'm self-made. Really, I mean, you've had outside forces coming in on you the whole entire time. And I think there's a lot of people who are perhaps startup entrepreneurs right here, right now, who are listening to this, and they may be building a personal brand-based business. And it's the fact, as you grow and as you expand, you're gonna have to outsource certain things, and that can be so scary. I remember when I first hired my first team member, and I was like, no, I like the way it's done. I like the way that I do things. And it was really terrifying, but I've got so much time to focus on the thing that I'm best at.
That's right.
And it allows you to do your zone of genius, as they so say, and focus on the things that you can perform the best in without having to waste time on other things. So now that we've covered that, I'd love to just hear from you, as you've written this new book, Build an Empire, what it actually means to build an empire, and why is it different than anything else?
Well, it's the concept alone. It's the concept alone of build an empire. I mean, people don't normally walk around and think that big to begin with.
No, and I mean, I think it's something, if you think big of other people who are just average in life, they think you're crazy, right? They literally think you are crazy because
yeah.
they're so set on their way
yeah.
of thinking. So
I mean, why build an empire? It's because of the normal. It's because of the average. Because normal is the most dangerous condition there is. Why? Because it's so vicious, because it's delusional. Because normal makes you think everything is fine until it's not. Normal can't sustain a big hit. Normal can't sustain an economic collapse, someone getting sick in your family, someone dying. Normal can't sustain anything. It doesn't have any buildup and reserves of courage and love and power and finances and resources. It takes extraordinary. It takes thinking along the lines of building an empire. Empires are the only thing that are substantial enough to be able to take a hit, to overcome and overwhelm an enemy, to not get taken under. So in building an empire, it's a mindset that you, that if anyone who wants to go big and really scale and really try to make a difference in the world, even just saying that, people will laugh at you. You really think you can make a difference for the better on this planet? Who do you think you are? I think I can make a difference in this planet, and I think I'm gonna die trying. And that's what build an empire is. It's a mindset to get you big enough to think that you can, to have the willingness to go for it, and to create positive effects and make a difference.
That's amazing. So have you always had this mindset?
No. For the first 5 years of my marriage, I was only thinking about me. I was only thinking about me and my little world and my, you know, little this and my little, you know, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna, you know, it wasn't big. I wasn't thinking in terms of how to really help other people. I wasn't thinking in terms of how do I go global? How do I get in touch and in communication with the world? That was such a foreign concept to me that could actually really be done. And now I'm doing it little by little. And like I said, I've just scratched the surface. I'm just figuring this out now.
It's just the beginning, that's it.
It's just the beginning.
So, okay. I can imagine there's probably a lot of people who are at that beginning stage. They're listening to this right now and they're hearing you speak and they're like, wow, I'd love to be where you are. They'd love to be in the position where you are, impacting the lives of so many people. And you know, you have a massive business as well. It's like you guys are super doing really well financially. And it's like, I want this life. They're saying, I want this life. So how do you switch the mindset? How did you actually go about changing your mindset from that more fixed mindset and that more me mindset to what it is now, where you actually care about making a difference and where you actually care about the bigger picture? Because the bigger picture is where it's at. And it can be hard to change your mindset because it's all you know.
Right.
So how did you change yours?
Well, the first thing I did was I made a decision that it was gonna be Grant and I, and we are a team and we are gonna operate as one. We're gonna be on the same page, and we put down as our couple's goals what we were, who we are, and what we were going to do for the big picture. Mm-hmm. Even though it seemed not the reality at the time, because in 2008 we had taken a hit financially. We had also were under a major attack on a lawsuit. So things were falling apart. We did not have the financial resources that we have today. It took that decision to say, you know what, this is one day we're going to be what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And so then it made all the little stuff subside, you know, like all the little fighting and arguing between each other, like that all had to stop. Because we didn't have time for that, because you can't build up and then tear down and then build up and then tear down and be distracted with inner relationship problems and go for the big picture and try to make that rise. So we really had to be a team, operate as a real team with a coach, a quarterback, all the, you know, we had to be it all for each other. So if someone made a mistake, we had to just like go, you know what, they made a mistake. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm not just trying to win a game, I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. So what, I lost this one game. I'm not gonna keep beating my teammate up over this. Okay, what did we learn from that? Let's move on. So we kept having to move on and not like
get stuck in the little things.
Yeah, we had to really elevate ourselves and hold ourselves accountable to a higher level in order to get to a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, so. And there was a lot of sacrifice phase too. Oh, thank you. There was a lot of sacrifice too, like, you know, the not going out, the not going on vacations, the not going out to dinners. We cut out all that kind of stuff just to focus on our work and what we were doing in order to get to where we were. But, you know, back then there wasn't social media, so no one saw that struggle.
Yeah, and I mean, people don't care to necessarily show that thing anyway nowadays, because they see the end goal. They see that where you guys are at now.
And they think
they don't see everything like that went in.
And back then also, we really, it was kind of more of a selfish phase, because back then, because we couldn't help the community, we couldn't help the globe like we are today.
We had to
regroup with ourselves. I had to refigure out how to become an asset to myself, how to become an asset to him. We couldn't give money to charity like we had been doing up until that point, and what we've done, everything we had to just tighten down the hatches on everything. So until you're at the level where you can give back, you must have to be a little bit selfish to get yourself up to a point where you then can give on a bigger level.
Yeah, you have to focus on yourself and where you actually need to get to before you can focus on making the bigger impact. And I think that's where a lot of people can perhaps get confused, go wrong. They focus on, I don't know, let's say the 1%, and they don't focus on the foundations, the 99%. They focus on all the like intricate details of things rather than working on themselves.
Right.
Because if you don't have a solid foundation to build upon, you can't build an empire because you have nothing to build from. You don't even have like the first house, you know?
Right.
So I think that is so important. And then I suppose because you've made such a big transition in your mindset and obviously your day-to-day life, do you want to just take us through what, when you guys were really putting in the work and doing all the behind the scenes stuff, what did your day-to-day life actually look like? What were you getting up to when you woke up in the morning, putting in the work in your business with both you and Grant? What were you guys doing when you were going through that?
The struggle phase?
Yeah, the struggle phase. Because no one hears about it. They don't see what you guys went
through. He was working out of the guest house of our home in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I was with the kids. They were babies and infants. And then I was also trying to just take care of anything he needed to facilitate whatever he needed to keep him at work and do it, which was the guest house and
just
producing.
Him?
Just him. We had an assistant, and then we went to maybe three people, four people. Then we moved to an office down the street where I think we had eight people was the most. Then we finally moved to Miami, and now we have, I think, 130 people now.
Wow.
Just at this location. So back then it was really just the two of us. I did all the behind the scenes stuff. He did speaking gigs on the road. I booked all the hotels and planned out all, all the kind of.
And the family stuff as well. How did that feel to you? Because obviously Graham was the one, I guess, who was getting the limelight, and maybe people didn't necessarily notice what you were doing. How did that feel, having been such an independent woman
who wanted, and an actress on TV and known and people, you know what? I never one time, I guess maybe since I moved to Los Angeles when I was 17, I've always been around way more famous people than me that were my friends. So to me, I never really looked at Grant as like really even being famous, because he was never as famous as the people I was hanging out with.
But how about the success of the growth of the business?
The success of the growth of the business, I always embraced. I wanted that. Like I've always wanted him to be known. I want his face out. He wants to put a book out and he wants to not put his face on, and I fight with them. I'm like, no, I want your face everywhere. Even if they don't buy your book, if they're walking past it in an airport, I want them to see your face and it go shh, and then you become more familiar. Like I want that. I want. So there was never any jealousy or, and it never crossed my mind, because like I said, we are such a unit that I wanted to help make him more famous than he is.
That's
or
amazing.
Was.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. And I think so often people can be so selfish with everything that they're doing, and then there can be this mindset where they want to tear other people down. I don't just mean in a romantic relationship.
No, I
obviously
agree with you.
I'm sure that goes on. I think to a greater degree, it goes on with other people, your competitors, people that you've known in your life.
Yes.
People want to tear other people down.
People are waiting. They're dying to see us fail.
Always.
Especially because we're so transparent.
Out there, you put yourself out there. Yeah. Your videos are hilarious. Like, the stuff you put out, I love it. It's just so funny. It's so real. And then, but people, I'm sure they don't like it, right?
Oh,
like, it's
yes.
just like
no.
with any
yes.
anyone who puts themselves They're... out there on social, you have to expect that other people want you to fail.
Oh, it's just definitely.
And you know what? The best part about it is that when you succeed, they're the ones who are probably crying about it, and they're just annoyed, right?
Annoyed.
And so it's funny, and I think that it's just, if you let that type of thing stop you and hold you back, you're the one whose your mind is being, you're thinking all these negative things when you could use that energy and focus on positive things to help propel you forward. That's how
That's
I think
right.
about it.
That's right. I use the energy of the ones that I'm not willing to go to war with, the insults and the whatnot, anything that doesn't threaten the viability of my family and this company will get ignored. I am human. I am sensitive. I don't like that quality about myself. I do consider it a weakness, but it does hurt, but I do ignore it, you know. But if someone out there actually threatens the viability of my family or this organization, I am prepared to go to war. And that is something that you will just have to confront the higher the level, and you just have to be prepared to go to war. I say, get tough enough to take a hit and strong enough to deliver a blow. At any level of success, you will have to just confront that fact that those are the facts. But by the time you have amassed greater and greater levels of success, you have already expanded and grown and pushed yourself to where you understand that you can fulfill those shoes when you get there.
Absolutely, yeah. And you need to pick your battles wisely. You know, you're not wasting your time on the pointless things.
No.
It might sting a bit for a moment.
It does. It hurts. I'm very sensitive. I'm very sensitive.
See, that's crazy because you would never think it from, I guess, the way that you portray yourself on social media. You are very strong-minded. You are.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, everyone gets hurt by certain things.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that you see that as a weakness.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like at the same time, it's just a fact of life. It's a human trait, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the weaknesses that you'd say you have that you actually flip on their head and use them to actually propel you forward? Because I think so often people say that they have certain weaknesses. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes your biggest weaknesses can be the greatest cause of your success.
Right. I mean, I have several weaknesses.
Admitting them, because a lot of people won't.
I know, because it's hard, because then, you know, your enemies know how to get you.
But they just heard you giving them
like,
that.
Oh.
If you want to go to war with you, I mean, they know what's coming, so I don't think anyone's going to risk it now. And they should be afraid if they want to.
They should be. I am not afraid of war. But there's two things. One lesson, and I wrote this in the book, it's called Be a Gold Digger. And it was the chapter that I learned how to use weaknesses for my benefit.
Oh, amazing.
And so way back in the beginning of our relationship, you know, when I was Miss Independence, you know, they would call me Gold Digger for being with Grant and all this stuff, and Gold Digger. And for some reason, that really bothered me at the time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, screw you. Like, look at what I've done. Look at my statistics. And you're going to call me a Gold Digger? And it really bothered me. And then I realized, wait a minute, I can be really bothered by this and pretend it doesn't bother me, which I can do that too. Or I can just figure out how to flip it. And that's when I learned for the first time, and now I've done this on so many things, I learned to accept it. I am a gold digger because I dig for gold in myself and in others every single day of my life. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to own this. I am a gold digger, and I'm telling you to be a gold digger too. And once I figured out how to use what comes at me and deflect it and push it back, it was like, whoa, it was a huge light bulb. It's been such a great weapon that I have in my arsenal.
It's amazing, yeah.
It's like to be able to use that. Now, another weakness that I have is that I know I am naive. Like, I know this. I tend to think the best about people. However, I know this is my weakness, so now I know how to put it in check. So now I just run everything through the filter. Am I being naive? Like, everything that comes across my plate, I run it through that filter. Am I being naive? And then I can really look at things objectively and be able to see the red flags and know when I'm trying to make allowances for them. I can see the red flags and make a decision. No, you have to confront the realness of what really is happening, not just my wanna believe naivete about it. So I've learned how to deal with my weaknesses, you know?
It's so important to do that. And I think that's so funny that you said about being naive, because I think that some of the greatest things I have probably done in my time is because I went into it so naive with no clue what was coming, and it's ended up.
And that's an asset.
Yeah, it's ended up being amazing, right?
Yes.
So I think it's hilarious. I mean, with everything, I guess there is two sides. There's always going to be a positive and a negative. But the thing that you just mentioned about the whole gold digger thing, it can literally be the greatest PR stunt ever because you're like, yeah, this is me. This is what I am. And then
I love it.
People have no way to attack you.
That's right.
And you've already admitted what your biggest weakness, as they say, is.
Yeah, it's like it didn't affect me anymore.
Exactly. You're loving it.
Yeah. I know.
It's like, hilarious.
And the best part about it is they tried to give me a bomb, and instead it turned into gold.
I love it. Amazing. You know? You literally just flipped it on its head.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
They gave me content.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I guess they weren't seeing you, I suppose, as they gave you content. It happens to me all the time.
They give me content. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say earlier when the negativity and all the
It's hate all comes, about content.
I try to use that as content.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to go to war with them because I can't be distracted. I'm trying to. I have the goals are too big to get sidetracked. That's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
They want you to fail. They want you to get sidetracked. They don't want you to make a difference. They don't want you to be powerful.
Exactly.
And you have to confront that they really do exist.
Right. And you know, that's so funny. The exact same thing happened to me the other day. I shared it on this podcast before, but I'll just share it with you now. So I basically was making this graphic for one of the podcasts, and I was like holding this wad of cash. And it was just talking about how you shouldn't just focus on money. It was actually about that. But obviously the girl who saw it, my friend from school, she saw it and she took a screenshot and she sent it to me on WhatsApp, obviously meaning to send it to her friend.
No.
And she was like, she said like, who does she think she is? It was something like that. I can't remember the exact wording. And I replied and I then used that for content. I literally made this Instagram post. It got hundreds of comments, spoke about it on a podcast, and I got so much content out of it.
Right.
So I was like, this is one
Brilliant,
of the best things
right?
that has happened because it's kind of relatable as well. I was talking about how if you're putting yourself out there, you have to expect that these things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can use it just as I have to make your own content. So there's a learning lesson in absolutely everything. But just one final thing that I want to touch upon with what you just said is like, obviously people saw you as the wife of Grant Cardone and they were thinking that you were a gold digger. How is it being a woman in business for you? Because I know for me, I guess people often, it's more that my age puts them off me because right now I'm 22. And so people don't necessarily see that I've had years and years and years of experience. I personally don't believe that age should ever be something that gets people talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But being a woman in business, what's it like? And do you think that you're taken as seriously as, let's just say, Grant?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm taken as seriously.
Because your personality is pretty like feisty out there, or do you think it's because
I think it's because of a number of things.
Yeah.
I think if you have the consideration that people are looking at you because you are young, then somehow it
shifts into your personality,
and,
right?
And whatever they perceive that.
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old. The thought of you and your age literally did not cross my mind until you just said that. And then I went, oh, wow, she's so young. And I thought that in my head.
Right.
But I didn't care.
Yeah.
But my point is that I think a lot of times we have this thing that we think other people are affected by us, but it's just going on in our own world
and
not really
the
in
thing.
Their own head.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you really took a survey of how many people really like judged you for your age, I bet it's way lower than you think.
Oh, 100%. And also, I think it's because when someone says, oh, you're too young to be doing all this, or oh, who do you think you are? You're only 22 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that it's like when you get any negative comment, it stands out. But it's not like everyone's thinking about it anyway. But just being a woman in business, I just want to relate it
but
back.
But the woman in business, if the woman in business makes herself valuable and become
value.
An asset.
Yes.
Statistics don't lie, and everyone across the board respects statistics. At that point, you're no longer man, woman, this, that. Now, the thing I think that is different before, and Grant doesn't see any difference between men and women in business. He looks at produce, what can you produce, produce. But I'm saying, as a woman in business, I know that I have to think about things a little bit more meticulously on how I deliver it and how I play the game. Where I don't feel like, and I could be wrong, I don't feel like men have to do that as much, but Grant can do and say things. It's just an isness of what I have observed in society. Grant can do and say things that are more acceptable. If I did the exact same things, I would be looked at as like, whoa, like a woman doesn't talk like that or shouldn't say things that cross those kind of lines. And so to not offend those people and to get what I want, I'm going to be in a more conservative, professional manner than I think sometimes men have to be. But that's just being smart. That's just knowing who you are, what you bring to the table, what your assets are. I mean, and figuring out how to place it all to, in the end, get what you want, which is the goal, which is the mission, which is your purpose. It's not trying to do something just because it's you.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
I fully get what you mean. I understand your analogy as well, where sometimes you have to think things through, because I think the same things as what a guy is thinking, right? But you have to kind of twist it and make it a little bit more sometimes socially acceptable.
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, I'm literally thinking exactly that. But if I said that, people wouldn't take me seriously. I do think sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact of how things are. And I do think that oftentimes, the same thing goes with a male as well. Sometimes they just say it how it is a little too much. I do think that's what I have seen personally in my life. And sometimes they do think in order to make it sound more politically correct, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on the person, right? I think it's just personality.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion on that. And so I guess any women who are listening to this right now, how can they make sure that they are positioning themselves in that sense? How they put themselves out there, just to make sure that people do take them seriously, because obviously.
Okay, well, if they want to be taken seriously,
yeah.
they have to be thinking in a professional way,
yeah,
in
I
a professional
agree.
Manner. Now, there are some women that want to be taken seriously, but, and I'm sorry, I hate to be the one to say it, but if you're dressing at work with your boobs completely hanging out and you're dressed so short, and yet you still want to be respected and taken seriously, I mean, you have to look at what you are doing to make you look not as serious. Because, I mean, do we not want to call a spade a spade? I mean, a beautiful woman is a woman and a guy is a guy. And they're going to, I mean, you know, it's like you can't expect guys to just like put these blinders on and not be a guy. I mean, you know.
I think the opposite goes as well. They're like, so often I think women can maybe be a little bit too timid because they're afraid to speak up. Especially I think when you're building your own empire, there's so often there's just tons of men, like for example, whenever I go to, I don't know, speakers or something, it's like all these guys and then I'm like the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can, if it's for women who maybe aren't as confident as I am, they could be a little bit afraid, like to speak up.
No, because I understand.
The bunch of this like male energy, like having banter with all the guys, like all the lads, you know, it's like it can be kind of scary. I mean, I get on with guys really, really well. I'm not afraid to have banter with them or whatever. But I think some girls will just kind of like sit in a corner and be afraid. And I am definitely more introverted than people probably think I am. I find it exhausting going to all these like events and all this, but at the same time you have to just be confident. I think it's like being confident but not being just disruptive to your image,
right?
That's how I see
it. So that's what I'm saying too, about just something as simple as the way they dress. Like
you
might say, well, I should have the right to dress how I want and people should accept me, and in a perfect fairy tale world that's the way maybe it should be.
Yeah.
But we live in the real world, and so in the real world, if you want to get taken seriously, you're gonna have to abide by real world rules.
I love that. It's like, for example, a guy wouldn't just come in wearing like board shorts or something.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
maybe
and
like a stringer or something.
Yeah, you know, unless you're Mark Zuckerberg, you can wear whatever you want.
Right.
But,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's amazing. So I think we've covered a lot here. Now, obviously, you have just released your book pretty recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did it launch? November.
In November, 18.
Amazing. So what are the, let's just say, three biggest takeaways you want people to have from the book? Obviously, they're going to go and buy it right now. Amazon.
Yeah.
Best worldwide place to buy it, I guess, because we've got British people listening.
If they want to buy the Audible because they don't want to pay for the shipping, you can go to elenacardone.com/empire and just buy the Audible.
Perfect. There we go. They have a solution. So three biggest takeaways.
And it's on Audible.
Oh my gosh, they have so many options right now.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, that's awesome. You're covering all platforms. So three biggest takeaways from the book. Hit me.
You have to have your purpose. Stop thinking small. Become fortified with whomever. Operate as a team. And know how to protect your empire.
Five things. We got more than we asked for.
Oh, okay, we got five? Okay,
no,
I thought that was three. Okay.
No, thank you so much.
And she needs to learn her math.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always good, right? But you have calculators and Google
these
days.
That's right. I have Grant. He's the human calculator.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even
And I have fingers that I
can
count on.
Exactly. Just Google, right? Just Google. Google has the answer to everything.
Yeah,
that's another thing.
True.
Yeah, anyway, so we have covered so much here. Thanks for everybody who has tuned in today. I hope that you go follow Elena on social media. I'm going to link up all of your socials, but it's just Elena Cardone. And then you and Grant obviously do the GNE show on the podcast.
Yep.
Do you have your own podcast as well?
Yeah, it's called Women in Power.
Amazing.
And I just interview women on that show.
Perfect.
And that's on Elena Cardone podcast on iTunes. Mm-hmm. All the Women in Powers are there. And then the show with Grant, the GNE show.
Amazing. So everybody, make sure to tune in. Make sure to hit subscribe. Thank you so much for listening today, and I'll see you in the next episode.